In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you, who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Psalm 119 verse 9 reads, "How does a young man purify his way?" And he gives us the answer, "To keep your commandments." It is an honor for me to have a special, very special guest, very dear to the heart, my brother, Co-Bishop Givargis Rashu, known as Father G, from the St. Mary's Assyrian Church of the East Parish in Los Angeles, and also the president of the National Executive Committee, NEC. I will refer to him as Rabbi. Rabbi means teacher. This is how we refer to our spiritual fathers, the priest, our Reverend Fathers Rabbi. Rabbi, welcome. Great to have you on with us.
Thank you, dear brother. I am humbly honored. Honestly, I'm humbly honored to be part of this wonderful program, which I have heard so much about. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for your service, dear brother. Rajjanard, thank you for what you do. And I pray that the Lord will guide us through this talk, through this interview, that we may glorify him in all that we say.
Amen. At all times. We are recording at the National Youth Conference, the North America National, no, it's a North America Youth Conference, the 35th Youth Conference. We are in Sacramento. So this program or this episode was recorded when we were at the National Youth Conference. Rabbi, please just enlighten the listeners a little about the National Executive Committee.
The National Executive Committee consists of 16 members. It is a committee representing all four dioceses in the United States and Canada, which we're calling North America. And the executive branch of it, which is the president, vice president, and secretary and treasurer, are appointed in this way. The bishops choose the president, and the president chooses his vice president, his cabinet, his vice president, his secretary, and his treasurer, with the approval of the bishops. And then each diocese, each bishop appoints three representatives from the respectable diocese, and that's how the 12 and the 4 can combine together, the 16 members of the National the Executive Committee of the youth for North America.
We know that the foundation of the Youth Association was founded by the late His Holiness Mardenha of blessed memory.
Yes.
When did NEC actually come into fruition, or who founded and how did it? How was it established?
The way the NEC started, it was a fruit or a branch or a product of the Youth Conference itself. The Youth Conference started 37 years ago, even though it's the 35th because we had missed a couple years. 37 years ago, by some youth members who had, we had, as you say, the late patriarch had established the Youth Association within parishes. And as these youth parishes were growing, some of the youth leaders within these parishes decided to get together, back then calling it a convention, a youth convention. And their aim was, their goal was, just to connect with other youth of other parishes. So it started small, of course. It started small. It was a weekend thing. It was a Saturday, Sunday kind of thing. It started small With, I remember the first one being part of it, it was 80 participants. And then it grew into a national conference, and then a few years ago into the North America Conference, mm-hmm. which consists of Canada and United States parishes. A few years back, during still the time of His Holiness Mardenha, the Patriarch, Mardenha IV, it was during his time when an official committee was established. And as you remember, it was His Holiness now, His mm-hmm. Grace then, mm-hmm. Marawa became the first president.
Yes.
You and I were both part of that committee. Mm-hmm. And then for 7 years, he led as president until right before his election as patriarch.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then the second president came into office, and that's how it formed itself. I believe it's still building itself, forming mm-hmm. itself mm-hmm. As we experience new paths. But thank glory be to God, it's in a good place right now, mm-hmm. heading in the right direction.
I began with Psalm 119, verse 9. How does a youth or a young man purify his way? But and the answer is to keep your commandments.
Amen.
What are the steps and what are the strives that the National Executive Committee has engaged itself into on a diocese level and on a Northern America level? What are some of the programs, or what are some of the endeavors that the NEC has engaged in to bring this verse into fruition in the lives of the youth?
The NEC plays the role of the older brother, for example.
Big brother.
Big brother. Encouraging, strengthening, mm-hmm. guiding, walking along mm-hmm. the younger brother. Mm-hmm. So in many ways, we look at the local level parish, youth parishes, within the parishes, the youth on the local levels. We look at them as the younger brother, and the older brother's duty is to guide, protect, strengthen, talk to, establish relationship with the younger brother. And that's how I feel the NEC has been to the local level youth committees. And in that sense, having a conference where it's looked upon as a reward for the local parishes, for the members, looked upon as a reward for them to, if you are part of us, you are rewarded with something big, something mm-hmm. nice. You belong to a larger group. You belong to a larger family. And we've seen that success throughout the years that this conference has been.
I'm sure there's been a lot of struggles and trials and challenges.
Of course.
Can you name a few and what the NEC is doing to overcome?
Just like any journey, it's a journey of life. And as we live through the journey, we experience difficulties, challenges, because we live in a fallen world. Mm-hmm. There are temptations. It's a war. And so, just like in our normal life, we face these challenges. We face them also as a group, as a family. And some of these challenges, for example, is losing our young to the world. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, the theme of this conference is not of this world. Mm-hmm. Why did we talk about it? Why are we establishing these lectures and the themes? And because we want to arise that faith, that love towards Christ, which is our true life. Mm-hmm. And we have to be able to show these young people the difference between the world, the fallen world that we live in, and the world God created us for. And so, of course, it's a great challenge because it's much easier. The road is wide, and it's easy for people to walk in it, you know, the road mm-hmm. of the fallen world. And so to come to a young 14, 15, 16-year-old and persuade them or show them the truth, it takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not easy. But that's what parents do all the time, right? Is steer their kids in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And that's what the youth, the NEC's job is, to be that older brother and to overcome those challenges and to speak their language. Mm-hmm. You know, because some of the challenges are the culture shock, for example. Our parents, our culture, our church, our liturgies were done in different times, in different in different places of the world, it was formed in a different culture, and now our children are in a totally different place, mm-hmm. different language, different culture, different challenges, different world. It just seems night and day, mm-hmm. and to bring them to something that dates back 1,000 years is not easy. So you have to find a tool of today, mm-hmm. to help them see why a prayer was created in the 7th century this way, for mm-hmm. example. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to be able to paint that picture for them and make it easy for them to accept. And that's one of the challenges I see in the work that we do.
I mean, and the themes of the conferences themselves, correct me if I'm wrong, Rabbi, they are presented in a different perspective within the church. I believe the church fathers, the liturgy, the sacraments. Is that helping the youth when they, you know, the theme is not of this world and we have a presenter that's presenting this theme from the perspective of the liturgy or the sacraments? Is there does it affect their thinking and understanding and enlighten them?
I believe because the presenters, which, you know, with due respect, are mm-hmm. doing a great job, mm-hmm. the presenter is bringing, for example, St. Ephrem the Great, mm. okay, 3rd, 4th century, 1,600 years ago, yeah. okay? One of the great fathers.
Renowned, very quite
course,
renowned.
Throughout yes. the whole church. Mm-hmm. Now, many young people hearing the name St. Ephrem wouldn't relate to, they wouldn't know what it is. But when explained in their language, mm-hmm. okay, in today's terms, mm-hmm. One of the presenters explained St. Ephrem in such a simple way where they were at awe. We didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, not bring simplicity yeah. in the terms, mm-hmm. simplicity in the way it's presented,
late
the application.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it really is helping. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul said, you know, when you're young, this is
it's
the kind
milk.
Of food you do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're older, this is the kind of food you take. So it's really based on that biblical thought.
Apart from our young man meeting our young sisters and some receiving the holy matrimony, some people approached me and said, Rabbi, you know, let's call a spade. There are a few young men here who actually are looking to find someone to, you
Nothing
know,
wrong with
to
that.
Get acquainted
it's
with and maybe one day, God willing, Pchelt Allah, to be married. Apart from those success stories, which we have a few, in this conference, we have the children of a couple that met at one of the mm-hmm. conferences. What are some of the other success stories from the National Executive Committee?
I believe our number one mission and goal has been throughout the years, especially in the later years where we understood more our mission, mm-hmm. has been to bring these young people to Christ. And I believe we're working much harder at it now than before. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, I remember 37 years ago, we didn't understand that concept much. We were all young.
Yeah.
But now that those who were young have become fathers and grandfathers,
yes,
have learned throughout the experiences the need of what the mission should be and how it should be steered. And so bringing them to Christ has been our number one mission. And I believe I see success. I mm. personally see success. Mm. And I hear from parents, from youth themselves, testimonies of how life are changing. You know, they're coming up to me and saying, you know, so-and-so presenter said this 3 years ago. It impacted my life.
Yes.
It changed my decision. Mm-hmm. So that's the greatest thing that, you know, we see the change in people's life, the how they're being touched and how they're changing paths and choosing right. And also, many of the clergy that we have today are product of the youth.
Amen. His Holiness.
His Holiness, the Patriarch of the Church. Well, I remember, you know, at one time, before he became president of the youth, he was a member of the youth. He was a young member of the youth and became part of the youth and chose, you know, I'm sure it was God's choosing, but chose to serve the Lord. Amen. And now, you know, look how blessed the church is to have such a patriarch. Amen. And many of the deacons you see today serving, as you know, are product of the youth. And
presenting very well, too. And
you and I are product of the youth, right?
So. I am Zaman. Yeah. Gone are the days.
We're not youth anymore, but we're product of the
Speak
youth.
Speak for yourself, right? You mentioned something very important, that it sometimes takes a hymn, a verse. It brought to mind John chapter 4, verse 18, the lady at the well, Christ engaged in a conversation with her. Mm-hmm. But when he said to her, you have five husbands, and the one you whom am now is not your husband, touched her heart. Mm-hmm. It was a rebuke. And she went and converted a whole city back to Christ. And that is so evident in you know, you don't, I always say, you'll never have 100% success rate, but what God wants and permits his will, there will be a success rate. I know that there is another ministry currently under the auspices of the NEC, but eventually it will be a new ministry, Salt and Light. Mm-hmm. And I know you have been quite engaged in establishing it. Tell us a little bit about that, Ravi.
The Salt and Light is a product of a need. What we saw as servants in the youth ministry, well, we saw that when our young were reaching the ages of 25, 26, they were not engaging in our programs as youth anymore because they felt they're older, they're getting married, they're having children. And so the need was to establish a ministry that they can belong to, that they can be part of. And speaking, you know, discussing these issues at our NEC, what should we do? These are, you know, these are our members still and part of us, and now they're not. And so this discussion brought about this thought of establishing a new ministry, and it's called the Salt and Light, the Association of Salt and Light of the Assyrian Church of the East. And the reason it's called that, you know, because of what the Lord called us to be, the Salt and Light. And so upon this verse, this ministry is established, and the mission of this ministry is to have these young people between the ages of 25 to 40 become the salt and light that the Lord has called us to be. And so now we have committees established in Los Angeles, in Phoenix or Arizona area, Phoenix, Gilbert, Chandler, those areas. We have one established for the Chicago area, Chicago and the suburbs, of course. And we are in process of establishing, with your help, dear brother, the one in California. Or we might have two, depending on the decision of the diocese and the need. And then I was just speaking to the Bishop of Canada. I believe in October, if I'm not mistaken, we'll be heading to Canada and establishing the one for Canada. And but the main goal of that ministry will be on the Word of God.
Amen.
Establishing the Word of God in their life, in their mind, in their deeds, and in their thoughts. And because they're new parents, they are professionals, they are leaders, and we want them to live according to the Word of God and become that light and salt of the world.
The Word of God being the food to the soul and the light to the path. Thank you, Rabbi. I know you're busy. And again, I will remind that this session was recorded during the conference, and we're running around like headless chooks, do they say? No. The youth are doing an amazing job.
They are.
An amazing job.
Yeah. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Rabbi, for your hard work, not just for this conference, but throughout the years. You've been a dear brother. You've been a true servant, and you have no idea how many lives you've impacted as a priest, honestly. Mm-hmm. Many young people come to me and tell me of the influence you've had on their life. And thank you for serving. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your dedication. The church needs you. The church needs people like you. You have, honestly, you are the light and the salt that the Lord called you to be.
Glory to God.
Within our church. And your committee has done an outstanding job for this particular conference. These young people, these volunteers, the hours they put in, the sleepless nights they go through these days. This is the love that Christ called us to have for one another. Mm-hmm. This is how they're showing their love to their peers, to their brothers and sisters. You can see it in their service, carrying these water cases, driving here and there, spending not only money from their pocket, not only their time, not only their effort, but their gifts. Many of them are professionals. Mm-hmm. They bring their gifts and use them to manage and run these conferences, and they're doing a remarkable job. Many of them might hire somebody to do many of the things that they're doing now.
Yes.
So we're grateful and thankful for all of you. God bless you. God be with you. We will pray with our feeble mind, with our feeble soul, for your success and for the Lord
to be glorified always.
To be glorified, but for the Lord to reward you. Amen. Because no matter what we say, it's limited.
It's perishable.
This world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. With this world. But the Lord will reward you, and glory be to his
name. Thank you, Rabbi. Likewise with yourself. We met in the 2006, was my first conference attendance. Oh, it was at Los Angeles. I remember when I got off the bus, you came and we embraced each other as though we knew. Sometimes we don't see eye to eye because we're human beings. But the love we have for one another and the zeal that you have, Rabbi. By the way, I forgot to mention 5 minutes with... It's not 5 minutes. It's usually 10 to 15 minutes. 5 minutes with Father G is the Facebook Live session Rabbi presents. It's all from the scriptures. And I've heard many, many great feedback. And at the end of the day, Rabbi, we always say we are unworthy servants. Amen. We truly are unworthy servants of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he uses the weak and the fool to put to shame.
And that's what amazes me.
Yeah, yeah.
God chose me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who, me?
Me? Me? Really?
That's what, who was it? What, Moses said that, didn't he? Who is me? I have a stutter. How can
unbelievable. Honestly, unbelievable. Yeah.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you so much. And may the Lord's blessings and guidance and protection be upon you and your flock, the amazing job that you are doing. And all those brother fathers, reverend fathers that maybe are listening to this, that are here, they're participating in the conference. May God be glorified in all that we do and we say, so that I always say this, so that we can hear those amazing words from the lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Enter the kingdom of your heavenly Father. Praise and glory be to his holy name, now and at all times and forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.